content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is All About Pets. In the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from The Washington Post, The New York Times, MIT Technology Review, AP News, Capster.com, and Dogster.com. On today's program, we'll start with an article from the Washington Post titled, Your Pets Are Bored, by Jolie Kerr. And it's ruining their lives and yours. How to create an enriching world for your cats, dogs, birds, and other critters. Have you noticed that dog is acting strange lately? Maybe licking your legs like they're ice cream cones? Or worse, attempting to escape with every walk? Is the cat destroying things more vigorously and enthusiastically than usual? Is the bird screaming? Your pets, pampered and petted though they may be, are bored, and they are letting you know. Boredom, stemming from lack of mental stimulation or opportunities to control certain aspects of their environment, leads to frustration or stress in pets, says Reagan McGowan, a research scientist in pet behavior and welfare with Purina, which can lead to health issues. Those physical health issues can include weight gain, self-harm, and a shortened lifespan. In addition, boredom can weaken the bond between a pet and his humans, or change the relationship between other pets in the household. If these things weren't grim enough, there are also the compulsive behaviors and destructive tendencies to consider. Pet boredom takes on many forms and varies by species. There are some of the signs of boredom. These are some of the signs of boredom to look out for in your pets. A dog lacking in enrichment. Look for destructive and/or repetitive behaviors like chewing furniture, digging holes, tail chasing, pacing, or leg licking. Theirs, not yours. Attention-seeking behaviors can also signal boredom in dogs, including excessive barking or whining, escaping the yard or trying to bolt during walks, shadowing you constantly, demanding attention, and leg licking. Yours, not theirs. The understimulated cat. In cats, boredom takes on more sinister tones, scratching furniture, pulling their hair out, over-grooming or licking one spot obsessively, increased aggression or attention-seeking behavior, such as biting, chasing, pouncing on non-existent prey, or vocalizing more than usual. Another sign that your cat is stressed due to boredom is inappropriate elimination, such as urinating or defecating outside the litter box, says Antje Beth Jolson, a veterinarian and veterinarian consultant for Dogtopia. Excessive sleeping, too, can signal boredom, though a cat's idea of excessive differs from our own. Cats typically sleep 12 to 16 hours a day. A listless bird. Parrots and other birds are highly intelligent and suffer greatly from boredom, Beth Jolson says. Signs of boredom in birds include feather plucking and screaming, plus repetitive behaviors such as head bobbing or pacing, sometimes to the point of self-harm, Tate says. Bored parrots may become aggressive, she adds, if they live in a life lacking in enrichment. The overlooked little guys. While fish can't express boredom like mammals, some species, like betas and goldfish, do benefit from stimulation, says Aaron Tate, vice president of clinical development at CityVet. A bare tank can lead to lethargy or stress. Small mammals like rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, and sugar gliders also need stimulation. The same thing goes for reptiles and amphibians. While they have different cognitive needs, enrichment still matters, Tate says of these scaly friends. Providing some mental stimulation for your pet. The good news is that there are plenty of ways to provide mental stimulation for your pets, some self-directed, as in your pet directs its own play, and others that you can incorporate into the quality time you and your animal spend together. Tate recommends providing your cats with a range of engaging activities and tools that can be used throughout the day. Puzzle feeders and treat dispensing toys encourage problem solving and tap into their natural hunting instincts, she says. Window perches or bird watching stations provide visual stimulation and help satisfy their curiosity about the outside world. Other enriching activities include hiding food around the home for nose work and screening cat-specific videos, aka cat TV, featuring visual entertainment in the form of birds and fish. Keep in mind that there is a distinction between just adding cute cat things to your home and providing enrichment, McGowan says. For structures, objects, toys, activities, scents, or sounds to be enriching, They need to be things that your cat interacts with and engages with. To keep dogs mentally stimulated and prevent boredom, Tate says, humans can offer enriching activities like snuffle or lick mats, conch toys, and food dispensing puzzles that engage their sense of smell and problem solving skills. For fish, Tate suggests adding plants, hiding places, and a variety of food to their tank. For reptiles and amphibians, rearranging enclosure layouts, providing climbing or burrowing options, and introducing live prey for appropriate species can help. Live prey! Birds would benefit from foraging toys, puzzle feeders, a changing cage layout, varied perches, and even music or mirrors. And small mammals will enjoy tunnels, chew toys, digging boxes, and food puzzles. Tate says adding that sugar gliders and guinea pigs may do better in pairs. How to spend quality time with your pet. Boredom is not benign, Beth Jocelyn says. In addition to causing mental and physical health problems, behavioral problems can weaken the human-animal bond. Yes, spending time on the couch with your dog counts as quality time, but you can't just Netflix and chill with Luna and expect her to be content. Luna might like to be wooed, you know. To keep dogs entertained and mentally sharp, humans should incorporate a mix of playful and interactive activities, Tate says. Games like fetch and tug of war are classic favorites, while hide and seek with people or toys adds an element of surprise. Playdates, water games, short training sessions that blend commands with play, and of course, regular walks or runs are what she calls essential for both physical exercise and mental stimulation through exploring new environments. While cats are more independent and self-directed than dogs, playing or interacting with your cat daily is essential, Beth Jocelyn says. Interactive toys like laser pointers, battery-operated mice, and feather wands encourage active play and mimic prey behavior, Tate says. To maintain interest, it's helpful to rotate their toys every few days, as cats tend to lose interest in them more quickly than dogs. Other toys and activities cat might enjoy: small balls, soft toys, or crumpled paper for batting around, and boxes or paper bags for tunneling, observing, ambushing, and other cattish things. Some cats may even learn to play fetch, Tate says. Regardless of the form it takes, your pet needs you to be active, an active part of their daily lives. Cat parents should aim for 2 to 3 short play sessions a day, fetch training optional, while an adult dog will typically need 30 minutes to 2 hours of playtime every day, depending on its breed, age, health, and temperament. Talk to your parrot and get a friend for your sugar glider. Next, we'll move on to New York Times, where we have an article titled, "These Cats Do It for the Glory, Not Salmon." No, it's the salmon, by Sui Lee Wee. Speed eating contests are part of a growing list of pet-related events in Thailand that also include competitions for skateboarding dogs and felines that look like cows. The champion competitive eater stood on a table in front of dozens of people and methodically attacked the salmon. "We don't encourage forcing them to compete," the MC said, in a 2-acre exhibition hall in Bangkok's northern suburbs. "Let them be as normal as they can. We're having fun here." But Kimmon, a mixed-breed cat, seemed to know exactly what his mission was. He did not stop until he had devoured all 15 grams, or 1 tablespoon, of the salmon treat that his owner had furiously squeezed from the pouch into his mouth. His time? 49.42 seconds. His ranking? First. His prize? More food. "Speed eating is his thing," said Chudawan Kusajitakorn, Kimon's owner and a pet content creator. "He usually has a grumpy face, but lights up if there's food in front of him." In the past year, Kimon, part Scottish Fold and part Thai Stray, has placed in the top 3 in 5 eating races. Competitive eating is an increasingly popular sport for pets in Thailand. In Thai, it is known as cat licking, which evokes a decidedly different image. It's just one of the many competitions that pop up in Bangkok every few months. There have been contests for cats that look like cows, skateboarding dogs, and orange-colored cats. They are a testament to the country's growing pet industry, which the government has forecast to hit roughly $1.8 billion next year. Thailand, which was already one of the world's leading exporters of pet food, now has the biggest pet sector in Southeast Asia. Pet ownership has been rising in Thailand, as the birth rate has declined and the population is rapidly aging. Many households now comprise singles, childless couples, or empty nesters. Pet owners are called mommy and daddy, who go all out to buy the best for their babies. Ms. Chudawan said she did not train her animals to eat competitively. Her other cat, Dinogong, part sphinx and part stray, who was competing for the first time, came in second, gobbling down his treat in 50.4 seconds. The two felines went home with three bags of creamy mackerel treats. This year, Kimon padded away with a cash prize of 2,000 baht, or roughly $60, after winning an eating contest. Kimon's competition was part of the four-day Thailand International Pet Variety Exhibition. It brought out Boston Terriers and sweater vests, and Labrador puppies and unicorn sweaters, all wheeled around in strollers. There were dozens of booths selling wares like innovative pet beds and pilot costumes for dogs. There were raccoons, meerkats, and skunks on display, catering to the growing demand for exotic pets. There was a climbing race for dogs and a weight-pulling competition for pit bulls. Anua Loaman, the event manager, said he came up with the idea for competitive eating competitions for dogs and cats in 2019. This year, 187 dogs and 236 cats registered to compete over the 2 days. The world is a stressful place, he said. People love watching cute pets eating. He was particularly proud of a contest he was unveiling for the first time, a monitor lizard race that he named Come Here Baby. Here sounds like the Thai word for monitor lizard. Come here, baby, the crowd chanted before the reptile scampered down two lanes. Ms. Chudawan, 27, said she spent much more on clothes for her 9 cats and dogs, all of them rescues, than herself. Dinogong wore a Victorian-styled hat, and Milan, one of her dogs, donned a hot pink beret with a fluffy pink tutu. I see them as my own babies and treat them as my flesh and blood, she said. Kimon's vet, she said, has ordered him to shed some of his 15 pounds, but the feline protested when she cut down on his portions. He just cries, she said. Going into the race, Ms. Chudawan said she was worried about the strict rules. Even a sliver of salmon left in the pack would mean disqualification. Crestfallen faces were evident as judges held up napkins with tiny dabs of salmon that had not been fully squeezed out. Several cats and dogs refused to play ball, turning up their noses at the treats. Not Jiulu and Onjong, two Pomeranians that placed first and second. The dogs, 10 and 11, had pink blush justed on their cheeks, which their owner, Borvanalux Poyatom, said she uses only for special occasions. Miss Borvanalux said she gave her dogs fresh salmon, but she ate canned fish. When asked what her pet means to her, she said, with tears welling up in her eyes, "Even in my darkest days, I still have them." Like many of her friends, Miss Borvanalux, 40, said she was single. She's studying to become a pet groomer, so I get to spend more time with my children. She had an inkling that her Pomeranians would excel at competitive eating. They can eat really fast. They are gluttons, she said. Next, we'll move on to the MIT Technology Review with an article titled, "Cloning Isn't Just for Celebrity Pets Like Tom Brady's Dog," by Jessica Hamzalu. Yes, you can pay $50,000 to clone a pet, but others are using the technology to rescue endangered species. This month, we heard that Tom Brady had his dog cloned. The former quarterback revealed that his Junie is actually a clone of Lua, a pit bull mix that died in 2023. Brady's announcement follows those of celebrities like Paris Hilton and Barbara Streisand, who have also famously cloned their pet dogs. But some believe there are better ways to make use of cloning technologies. While the pampered pooches of the rich and famous may dominate this month's headlines, cloning technologies are also being used to diversify the genetic pools of inbred species and potentially bring other animals back from the brink of extinction. Cloning itself isn't new. The first mammal cloned from an adult cell, Dolly the sheep, was born in the 1990s. The technology has been used in livestock breeding over the decades since. Say you've got a particularly large bull or a cow that has an especially high milk yield. Those animals are valuable. You could selectively breed from those kinds of characteristics, or you could clone the original animals, essentially creating genetic twins. Scientists can take some of the animal cells, freeze them, and store them in a biobank. That opens the option to clone them in the future. It's possible to thaw those cells, remove the DNA containing nuclei of the cells, and insert them into donor egg cells. Those donor egg cells, which come from another animal of the same species, have their own nuclei removed, So it's a case of swapping out the DNA. The resulting cell is stimulated and grown in the lab until it starts to look like an embryo. Then it's transferred to the uterus of a surrogate animal, which eventually gives birth to a clone. There are a handful of companies offering to clone pets. Viagen, which claims to have cloned more animals than anyone else on Earth, will clone a dog or cat for $50,000. That's the company that cloned Streisand's pet dog Samantha twice. This week, Colossal Biosciences, the de-extinction company that claims to have resurrected the dire wolf and created a woolly mouse as a precursor to reviving the woolly mammoth, announced that it had acquired Viagen, but that Viagen will continue to operate under its current leadership. Pet cloning is controversial for a few reasons. The companies themselves point out that while the cloned animal will be a genetic twin of the original animal, it won't be identical. One issue is mitochondrial DNA, a tiny fraction of DNA that sits outside the nucleus and is inherited from the mother. The cloned animal may inherit some of this from the surrogate. Mitochondrial DNA is unlikely to have much of an impact on the animal itself. More important are the many, many factors thought to shape an individual's personality and temperament. It's the old nature versus nurture question, says Samantha Wisely, a conservation geneticist at the University of Florida. After all, human identical twins are never carbon copies of each other. Anyone who clones a pet expecting a like-for-like reincarnation is likely to be disappointed. And some animal welfare groups are opposed to the practice of pet cloning. People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, PETA, described it as a horror show, and the UK's Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, RSPCA, says that there is no justification for cloning animals for such trivial purposes. But there are other uses for cloning technology that are arguably less trivial. Wisely has long been interested in diversifying the gene pool of the critically endangered black-footed ferret, for example. Today, there are around 10,000 black-footed ferrets that have been captively bred from only 7 individuals, says Wisely. That level of inbreeding isn't good for any species. It tends to leave organisms at risk of poor health. They are less able to reproduce or adapt to changes in their environment. Wisely and her colleagues had access to frozen tissue samples taken from 2 other ferrets. Along with colleagues at a not-for-profit Revive and Restore, the team created clones of those 2 individuals. The first clone, Elizabeth Ann, was born in 2020. Since then, other clones have been born, and the team has started breeding the clone animals with the descendants of the other 7 ferrets, says Wisely. The same approach has been used to clone the endangered Przewalski's horse, using decades-old tissue samples stored by the San Diego Zoo. It's too soon to predict the impact of these efforts. Researchers are still evaluating the cloned ferrets and their offspring to see if they behave like typical animals and could survive in the wild. Even this practice is not without its critics. Some have pointed out that cloning alone will not save any species. After all, it doesn't address the habitat loss or human-wild conflict that is responsible for the endangerment of these animals in the first place. And there will always be detractors who accuse people who clone animals of playing God. For all her involvement in cloning endangered ferrets, Wisely tells me she would not consider cloning her own pets. She currently has 3 rescue dogs, a rescue cat, and geriatric chickens. I love them all dearly, she says, but there are a lot of rescue animals out there that need homes. Now we'll move on to an article from AP News. It's an article by Heather Hollingsworth and Stephen Smith, titled Families on SNAP Worry About Also Not Just Feeding Themselves, But Also Their Pets. New Orleans, AP. Sarah Lungwitz has fretted over feeding not just her 2 teenage daughters with SNAP payments disrupted, but her family's cat and 2 dogs. Help has arrived for now, she says, after an Illinois nonprofit arranged for volunteers to give her a grocery gift card last week to buy food for herself and her pets. It's among the growing efforts to help struggling pet owners stretch their dollars as Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program payments go out late during a government shutdown that is the longest on record. I don't even make enough money for all my bills, let alone groceries, said Lungwitz, a 46-year-old auto parts store worker who was worried she might have to surrender her cat Bambi and 2 dogs, Spike and Chloe. The Supreme Court on Friday, November 7th, granted the Trump administration's emergency appeal to temporarily block a court order to fully fund SNAP food aid payments amid the government shutdown, even though residents in more than 6 states already received the funds. The uncertainty is placing a strain on shelters. Although SNAP can't be used for pet food, the food assistance program helps keep low-income families free up money to purchase kibble. It's also common for owners to supplement or entirely feed their animals human food that was purchased using SNAP, says Stephanie Hicks, Executive Director for Care for Pets, the Rockford, Illinois nonprofit that helped Longwitz and others. Some volunteers walk the grocery aisles of struggling pet owners. The Humane World for Animals, formerly the Humane Society of the United States, estimates that more than 20 million pets live in poverty with families. Economic strain is one of the leading reasons animals are surrendered to shelters, spokesperson Kirsten Peek said. While it's still too early to tell whether that is happening, groups are collecting pet food as shelters worry about a possible surge as the shutdown also leaves hundreds of thousands of furloughed workers without paychecks. An increase in surrenders is always a concern when an influx of people fall on hard times, Peek said. Finding ways to make pet food last longer. The concerns have one Louisiana shelter considering diverting money away from veterinary care so it can buy pet food. The SNAP delays come at a particularly bad time for the Companion Animal Alliance in Baton Rouge. The shelter recently lost a donor, forcing it to halt a program that distributed pet food to around 200 families each month. People are exceptionally panicking. I don't know what a better word would be, said Paula Shaw, the shelter's director of Access to Care, noting that it was so common for SNAP recipients to give their own food to their pets that the shelter provided information about human food owners can add to their pet food to make it last longer. Offers of pet food and Venmo donations were immediate after Charlie Angel's Pet Initiative in Massachusetts put out a plea on Facebook last week. We're expecting, at least in the short term, that there's going to be a surge in demand, says Candy Finch, a groomer who named her nonprofit after a beloved pet. A rise in families using pet food pantries. That's exactly what's happened at New Leash on Life, a shelter in Lebanon, Tennessee, outside of Nashville. The number of families using its pet food pantry jumped to 125 in October, up from 75 to 100 in a typical month, said Executive Director Angela Chapman. We'd rather help them with their food than have to surrender a pet, she said. In New Orleans, Zeus's Rescues gave out a ton of pet food in October, double the normal amount, said founder Michelle Cherami, who said this is the highest demand she's seen in 20 years. It's heartbreaking, she said, noting that some people are so desperate they're dumping animals in the shelter's yard. Among those seeking help there Thursday was Katie Sari, who is unemployed because of health issues and is struggling to set up interviews to get SNAP benefits amid the shutdown. Out of money, she needed food for her two dogs. They're more important to me than I am, so I want to make sure they're fed first, she said. They're my babies. Aware of the problem, many food pantries also stock their shelves with pet food, said Kim Buckman with Feeding Missouri, a coalition of food banks in the state. We do know a lot of people will feed their pets before themselves, she said. In some cases, that is their emotional support animal. Such is the case for Longwitz, who said she has PTSD and severe depression. Psychiatrists told her to get a dog because they needed walks. That's how she wound up with her Chihuahua. Her American Bulldog, 80 pounds of pure muscle, made the domestic violence survivor feel safe. She says it worked, allowing her to venture out of the community and land a job. But money is so tight that she sometimes seeks help at food banks, including getting some donuts for her 17-year-old daughter's birthday. I'm struggling, she said. Next, we'll move on to an article from Dogster.com titled, How DNA Testing Helps You Understand and Love Your Dog Even More, by Travis Smith. Every dog has a story. But many of us, that story starts with a mystery. Where did they come from? What makes them them? And why do they love herding the vacuum cleaner or diving into puddles? That's where Embark's Dog DNA Test comes in. By uncovering your dog's unique breed mix, traits, and health insights, you can get a clear picture of who they are, inside and out, turning mixed breed into meet your new best friend. Let's be real. Mixed breed doesn't capture the magic of your one-of-a-kind dog. A DNA test changes that. Suddenly, your mystery pup becomes a unique blend, part corgi, part terrier, maybe even a sprinkle of husky. Knowing your dog's breed helps you understand what makes them tick, from energy level and play style to how they learn best. You'll start to see patterns. Their love of water might trace back to their retriever roots, or their clever problem solving could come from a herding breed ancestor. Seeing beyond looks. looks can be deceiving. Studies show that breed guesses based on appearance are wrong most of the time. Even seasoned shelter staff don't always agree. And then when you can understand where your dog's traits come from, you can celebrate their individuality, not just how they look. This kind of insight can make a real difference. So in fact, through Embark, Long Stay, No Longer Initiative, they tested dogs who've been waiting in shelters for over a year, and with 71 days of receiving results, 1 in 3 found their forever homes after an average wait of 700 days. Getting ahead of health risks. These DNA tests screen for 270-plus genetic health conditions. That means you can spot potential risks early, share results with your vet, and plan proactive care that helps your dog feeling great for years to come. For example, if your dog's results show a predisposition for certain conditions like degenerative myelopathy, you can work with your vet to create a wellness plan tailored for them. And if their genetics come back clear, you get peace of mind knowing you're ahead of the curve. Building a stronger bond. At its heart, DNA testing is about connection. When you know your dog better, why they act the way they do, what makes them thrive, you'll build a stronger bond. You'll understand their instincts, meet their needs more precisely, and celebrate everything that makes them special. It's a very easy and most fun way to learn more about the dog that you already adore. We'll finish today's episode with a Ask the Vet. My cat ate a hair tie. Here's what to do. From a vet. Any cat parent will know that their feline friends can be mischievous and love to play. Although cats are often more sensible than dogs when it comes to eating random objects, they can get carried away while playing. So what about the cat's favorite playthings, a hair tie? What should you do if your cat eats a hair tie? Why do cats like hair ties? Cats like to play and will stalk and pounce on various objects during play. Once caught, they can often chew on their catch while kangaroo kicking it with their back legs. The play hunting is great fun to watch and great stimulation. However, it's not uncommon for cats to get carried away with their play and accidentally swallow the item they're playing with. Hair elastics are a prime example of this, since their elasticity and bouncy behavior grab your furry friend's attention and encourage play. So my cat ate a hair tie. What do I do? If your cat eats a hair tie, it's important not to panic. 1. Check that your cat is breathing properly. First, check that your cat isn't choking or in any breathing distress, as this would be an emergency. If they are showing these signs, contact a veterinarian for an emergency appointment. 2. Look for the cat hair tie. Look for the hair tie. If their breathing is normal and they do not retch or gag, do a thorough search for the hair tie to make sure it's definitely eaten. As a veterinarian, it's surprisingly common to see pets that have eaten things they shouldn't have, only for the owner to find the offending article later when they arrive home. 1. Monitor your cat for signs. If there's no sign of the hair tie and you're pretty certain it's been eaten by your cat, you should continue to monitor at home. 4. Contact your vet if signs appear. If your cat develops vomiting, diarrhea, constipation, or straining, or goes off their food, you should get an appointment with your veterinarian as soon as you can. A checkover will allow your vet to determine where their hair tie might be stuck and whether more tests or surgery are needed. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. We hope you enjoyed listening. Be sure to join us next time. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.